again a hearty thank you for singing. I appreciate it very much. Wonderful songs and really leading us to the Lord and telling us what God has done for us and for others as well in different situations. First, I'll have to ask that you forgive me if I start coughing. I'll get over it and continue on as long as I can. Still fighting my cold, but it's better than it was, even though it might not sound that way all the time. The scripture lessons for today is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who was, but could not because of the crowd, so he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a great guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see that just before this, Jesus had gone through and healed the blind man. The blind man, of course, was sitting in the way, and he heard a rumpus or a ruckus, and he wanted to know what was going on, and they said Jesus was passing that way. And so he starts calling out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people come to him and said, "Be quiet. He is passing this way, and you are disrupting his passage." And yet Jesus heard him, and Jesus says, "Call him unto me." And they brought the blind man unto him, and Jesus says, "What is it that you would have me do for you?" And he says, "I would like to receive my sight." And so Jesus healed him. Now he goes from there through Jericho, and he meets a man that's not very tall. And if you're like me, if you remember people that are short stature, when I was in service, we had a man. He was of Spanish descent, and I think he was about 4'6". And he was much more adamant in his commands and his laws than the man that was 6 feet tall. The one that was 6 feet tall, it seemed like you could talk to him and even convince him that you were right, even if you were wrong. And the one that was short, he was bound and determined, "It's going to be my way or no way." And so I don't know if Zacchaeus had that, because he was chief tax collector. He had many collectors underneath him, and he had a certain territory in which he collected for the Roman government. And because he worked for the Roman government, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes all felt he was a sinner, because he was working against Israel and he wasn't trying to overthrow the Roman Empire. And yet maybe Zacchaeus realized deep down that Israel was being punished for the sin of not following Christ way back since the times of Solomon and in through there a little later on some of their kings. And yet we don't know all of those things because it's not all written down word for word and in detail for us. But there is enough written there that we can know that God was working a mighty work amongst the people, and he was working a mighty work in Zacchaeus' life. This was a divine appointment for Zacchaeus, and it was a divine appointment set up many years before, and even in the beginning of eternity when Jesus would pass that way and see Zacchaeus in the tree. And he would talk to him, and Zacchaeus would come down and joyfully receive Christ into his house. And we can see then he made a big feast. Now, we don't know how long it took to make these feasts up, but I'm sure it took a few hours to get everything going and getting their fire and cooking their meat and so forth. But we can look back, and when Matthew was called as a disciple, we see also that he was a tax collector, and the people murmured against Jesus for calling a tax collector to be one of his disciples. Yet Matthew took and says, I'm going to have a feast for you, Lord, and I want you to come to my house and we will have a feast. And he called many of the tax collectors, probably under him and around the area, to come and see and meet Jesus and to hear what Jesus had to say. And I am sure many of them accepted Christ as the Son of God, and that they accepted that this was the one God had sent into the world to take and reconcile the world back to him. And Zacchaeus, when he came down joyfully and excited, he accepts Jesus' invitation to come to his house. He's very excited, and I can see him almost beyond words, in which he doesn't hardly know what to say or what to do. And yet when the disciples came in and Jesus came in, they had a place in which they could wash their feet and wash up and get ready for the meal. And I'm sure they had that very well taken care of and all of these other things that's not in detail. Yet after he had been there, and we don't know what all the conversation went on, but we do know that Zacchaeus accepted Christ as the Son of God, the one that God had sent into the world to save the world and to help the world be reconciled back to God. And we see there that the Pharisees and the scribes murmured against Jesus and against his disciples. And they says, he's gone to eat with sinners. We can't do that. We have to keep our distance from these people. And that's where our Old Testament lesson comes in. I should have asked you, Steve, to read verse 19 even on that one. It brings in the rest of the verses so very good. But even what Steve read there, it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And you see, when you look at what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing of that day, they had so many laws and they had so many regulations that they were doing it all as a means in which to make themselves look good and not professing God as the Father of the universe, the God that created the heavens and the earth, and the God that sent his only begotten Son into the world to save the world from its own sin. And they would not acknowledge that because they had all these things that, look how righteous I am, and everything was self-centered. And many people today still go around with this same attitude of, look what I have done. Look what I have performed. Look at how I have done this or I have done that. And they refuse to give God the glory. And Christ says those same people, ministers and laymen or Christians, when they come before Christ in judgment, he will say, I never knew you. because you have done it all to your own glory and not to the glory of God. Then as the Old Testament lesson goes on, it says they will pass through this hard-pressed and hungry. And we see that their souls are hungry for the Word of God, and yet they are stymieing that hunger by trying to do other things that makes themselves look good and bring a personal satisfaction only to themselves, regardless of what the Word of God says. Then it goes on in the Old Testament lesson, and I'm going back here. It says, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God. And they will look upward, and I can see them looking up and saying, Lord, where is the blessing that you promised us because of all the good work I personally have done for the poor and for those that are needy? And they have not given God any glory at all. And then it goes on and it tells us, it says, they will be in darkness and the gloom of anguish, and that they will be driven into darkness. And in hell, it's total darkness. And there is no light there whatsoever. Even though they're in the fires of hell and in the torment of pain, that is total darkness away from Jesus Christ, and that they do not have Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they will remember all of the times that they could have received him and didn't. Then we see Zacchaeus as he has taken and he has brought Christ into his house, and he's feeding him. And he tells him, he says, you know, he stands up and he says, Lord, half of everything I have for you, or everything I own, half of everything I own, I'm going to give to the poor. And this is a commendable thing. We can all do that. But remember the rich young ruler when Jesus says, sell what you have and give to the poor. He went away sorrowful because he was very rich. And he didn't want to give up the things that he had in his personal possession. Zacchaeus willingly did it to serve Jesus Christ. And then he went on further and he says, Lord, if I have defrauded anybody or if there's false accusations on anything that I have done, I will restore to them fourfold. And you look at that and you say, Zacchaeus, you've had many people under you, and yet you're going to restore everyone that has a false accusation against you fourfold. It could take you the rest of your life. And he says, I don't care, because Jesus is the Son of God. He's come into my house, and he has given me salvation because I believe that God sent him, that he will die on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for me, is what Zacchaeus is saying. And he sees that this divine appointment with Jesus Christ was to save his soul from eternal damnation. And then he would fall under the section, under the Corinthians section that Steve read, of how we see our calling. Brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. So, you know, because we may have the world at our fingertips, so to speak, do we have Jesus Christ in our heart and in our life? Have we committed our life to him and him first? That our everything we do, the glory that might be given to us is praise to him, and that his glory is seen in all that we say or do to our fellow workers, to our family, to our children, to our relatives, whoever they may be, that we show God's love in us, that they will see God's love, and that they will glorify God, and they will say, truly that man or woman is walking with Christ and has Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because they are thinking only of eternity. And they're building the kingdom of God within themselves and within those around them because of the love that they have for Christ showing out through them and throughout the world. And then we see, too, that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. And we see that Jesus came and he was born in a barn. And you know, most people thinking a king would be born in a palace. And yet we've seen Herod wanting to see Jesus, not to worship him, but to kill him because he was afraid Jesus would take over his kingdom. When Jesus was crucified, Herod seen him. That Herod, a different one, had seen him, and he was hoping Christ would do some great miracles for him and some great signs, and Jesus wouldn't do them. You see, Jesus says, I come to seek and to save those that are lost. And those of us who are walking with the Lord, and we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the thing comes to make us realize, have we committed ourselves 100% to Christ? Have we been willing to say, Lord, you have first place in my life. And whatever happens, Lord, I want you to be glorified and not me. That all glory and honor goes to you. All prayer and praise is yours, Lord, because of what you have done for me. You know, God tells us in the Psalms that he blesses those who serve the poor. Those that are powerless or helpless and can't help themselves many times, or they don't have the power in which to do a lot of things. And God will deliver us and help us as we serve them. And God has demonstrated his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and God sent Jesus Christ into the world, and he demonstrated his love to us that as we see his love and as we see his goodness and his mercy, that we know we have eternal life. Yes, we have many hard things going on in life. We know that. We are humanly sinful, and therefore, because of sin, we have sickness and death in our physical life. But if we keep our hearts and our minds stayed on Jesus Christ, he will help us through this, and he will help us to have that peace which passes all understanding. We won't be empty, and we won't be hungry because we have the Word of God that we can turn to, and we should be turning to it every day, praying and asking God to help reveal to us what he is telling us in his love letter to us, the Bible. And as we sing these songs, and especially the one that's going to be sung now after the sermon, I gave my life for thee. When you sing that song, look at it, at the words, and instead of singing, I want you to sing, but I want you to pray that song also, that you realize what Christ has done for each one of us, that he has come, he has given his life for us, and in the sanctity of life, we can have Christ first in all things. You know, just last week in Barack Obama, I guess that's the way you pronounce it, in Nigeria, there was over 2,000 Christians and infidels, people that won't turn Islam, killed in one city. One whole town almost completely wiped out because they would not refute Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and because they said they will not turn Islamic, and they were wiped out, slaughtered, and they said there was bodies upon bodies there. This is what the Christians have to face. We have right here in Roseau an instance where the county wanted to not give a tax-exempt certificate for some property because they claimed it's not used for religious purposes, and it is being used for that. So we have things right at home, and we don't have to go very far, and we can see that God is moving in a mighty way. And he's telling the Christian, stand up for me and make sure people know you have me as your Lord and Savior. because this is so important. And those that see you will know you have Christ and that you have the happiness of salvation in your soul and you have it in your life, regardless of what happens in sickness or in health. You can serve Jesus Christ. And then it tells us, even as what Steve was reading, that we are to glory in Christ, in the Lord Jesus, for what he has done for us. And we are to serve him all the days of our life, not only today or tomorrow, but all days, whether we're sick or well. We have Christ first and him first in all that we do. In our jobs, we can glorify Christ by letting the people around us see how Christ works in us, even in hardships, that we still have that peace which passes all understanding, and that we have the water of life flowing through us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with each one of us today. We pray, O God, for the sanctity of life. We know it's important, and Lord, it's you and you alone that we have to answer to. We pray, O God, that as we stand before you, we will not only hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," but also, "Enter into my rest made for you." Lord, be with us as we leave this place and help us to serve you today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.